fed him, gave him a swatch of straw and a blanket to lie on, and then left Dot to himself. No one came near him, so after a period of restlessness, he lay down and went to sleep. At 3 o'clock in the morning, a cowled, robed figure entered the cell, barely silhouetted in the wavering light of a single candle flame in the hands of his attendant. The figure bent and touched the sleeping Dot gently on the shoulder. Dot came awake and up into sitting position, all in one instant.
Huh? What is it?
Do not disturb my friends. I have come only to speak with you.
There has been time for talking. Well, what time is it in here?
It is 3 o'clock as you tell time.
Am I supposed to know who you are?
I am one of those who must pass judgment upon you before you will be allowed to go further.
You won't pass judgment on me?
That is why I am here.
For judgment for what?
I ain't done nothing. No, you misunderstand. Father, I am to pass judgment on your qualifications, your capabilities.
Huh?
I have found that most people find a great deal of satisfaction in discussing themselves with someone who will listen.
Yeah, I talk about myself. Who don't? Anyway, the part of myself I don't mind showing. Like, I don't care if you know I'm a pretty darn good private detective. Before that, me and Jack is kind of soldiers of fortune. We've done some fighting down here in South America and a couple revolutions. We fought with that there Christian Chinese general in China before the big fracas busted out. And then we joined up with General Chiang Kai-shek and fought Japs for almost a year while the rest of the world is trying to make up its mind whether to get in or not. That's the kind of stuff you're interested in?
Oh, you misunderstand. Your history is colorful, and at another time I would like to hear more of it. But now I should like to know some personal things about you. Get along, are you married?
Married? Me?
You have not?
Not me.
Have you ever been?
Never.
Have you any attachments where women are concerned at the moment?
Oh, hey, man.
You mind so much answering such questions?
Oh, no, except they make me feel kind of silly.
About this attachment?
Well, I know plenty of girls back up in Hollywood.
You are in no way obligated to any of them or emotionally attached?
Uh-oh, just good friends.
Have you any other attachments or obligations which would prevent you from cutting yourself off from the past, at least temporarily?
Cutting myself off from the past? You mean would I be willing to, for instance, stay down here in this neck of the woods for the rest of my life? Is that what you're getting at?
Before you accepted this assignment, you were rewarded with a consideration.
Oh, I'll say it was a consideration. A leather bag full of the kind of stuff you'd expect to find in Captain Kidd's treasure chest.
Exactly. Would you be averse to accumulating a great deal more of such a treasure?
Well, now you're talking about something I can understand. Only there's just one thing I want to ask about.
Well?
Why do you bring me up here and talk to me alone? Why don't you make a proposition in front of Jack, too?
Because you alone will be allowed to participate in what I am offering.
And it's that.
I must have misunderstood you.
No, you didn't. If Jack ain't in on this, too, then let's do it.
I don't believe you understand what I'm talking about. There's a great treasure of precious metals and stones which, according to legend, were lost when the Spanish came to the Americas. They were not lost. They were taken into protective custody by those who are now interested in you.
Hey, the Spanish come over here hundreds of years ago.
Yes, that is true.
Then how could those who hid the treasure be interested in me? They'd be dead and turned back to earth by this time.
I do not speak of individuals. I speak of a race of people, a way of life, an order of existence so much older than anything your ancient history books ever dreamed of, that there is no comparison.
You sound like your gun.
What did you say?
Well, I say you sound like that little nature girl, your gun.
What do you know of your gun?
Well, she's been traveling with us for like 3 days. We picked her up in that San Philip Atapapa forest, and she's been with us off and on her fence.
Why, did you know? She came to this place with you?
Yeah, she's down in them cells with Jack and Jeremiah.
I know. I don't know.
I don't know. Farmarano.
Faruka, Karibu Sunday too.
Farmarano, Faruka.
Huh? Hey, where's he going?
I am sending him to bring the girl Yoganda.
Well, you seem to be awfully darn interested in her.
Who is she in there? This is not a question either to be asked nor answered.
You folks sure do like your mysteries, don't you?
To return to our discussion, those who are interested in you also are the custodians of the great treasury of gold and jewels. If you are willing to cut yourself off from all ties, all interests which have been yours until now, if you are willing to accept instead that which is in store for you, you will be rewarded with wealth beyond average.
What's wealth beyond average?
You will be a rich man until the end of your days. Nothing will be beyond your want or desire.
You know what you're doing, Frank. You're appealing to the Texas boy. You're making my mouth water like hound dog looking to put a house steak in the eye. In fact, if you were to sprout a couple of horns and bust out start with probing booze, I'd say hi, you Satan, and wouldn't be the least bit surprised.
Perhaps you would like to come with me and see some of this great treasury for yourself?
Not me.
You'll never have another opportunity.
It don't make no matter. If you can't cut Jack in on a deal, I ain't interested.
Here, hold out your hand.
Huh? Hey. Diamonds. Rubies and emeralds. Hey. What am I supposed to do with these?
Keep them with you the rest of the night. Sleep with them and think over what we have to offer.
The heck with that. Take them back. Here.
You mean that?
You don't think I mean it. You ain't bribing me. Oh, here's one fella in the cuff of my trousers. Take that, too.
Don't be hasty. You still want to reconsider?
Hey, look, pal, I'm getting awful sick hearing your voice. If you don't want to bust on this news, you just keep nagging. Oh, here's old Sanskrit back again.
Come on, Rupert.
No, no.
What's he saying? Why didn't he bring your gander?
She sends word that she prefers to stay where she is.
Oh, she does, huh? Okay. What happens now?
You will be permitted to go forward. You have met your test.
Test? What test?
If you had accepted my offer, or if you had as much as hesitated one instant in refusing it, you would have been turned back.
You mean that was all a lot of hokum? That there wasn't any great treasure?
Oh, yes. I did not tell you a single untruth. Now you may depart on the next leg of your journey. Even now, the mule Saul's tosses is loaded with his burden and stands waiting at the outer gate.
And are Jack and Jeremiah and Uganda coming too?
They will be at the gate almost as soon as you are.
But what's your rushing us off in the middle of the night for?
Where you're about to go, it doesn't matter.
Huh? What kind of talk is that?
Go with my attendant. Maruni la fora fora.
I don't know.
So here we go again. I turned down $1 billion in cold cash, and so now I'm an honorable man, and we can go ahead with our journey.
Couldn't you have held up a little so I could have got a little more sleep?
Well, you started getting us on a trail.
4 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, and what a trail. We seem to be climbing straight up a rock precipice. How are you coming, Jeremiah?
Oh, fine. The roof in this hole is quite low. Oh, look, you know.
Dream
dark. Yeah, these two places. I know they're interested in the daylight, and I'll be out
of you. You still with us, your daughter?
Oh, yes.
And when you make a dark story?
Well, I told him it's Doctor. It's Doctor Sheldon, Jeremiah, sir. Of course he'll be tested.
Come here.
But I do not understand why they asked you about your interest in me.
Yeah, you're not married. You're attached.
Yes. It was a strange question. Well, we've reached some level ground, Christian.
What was it he said at the end, Doc, about where we were going? You know, I said, what was the idea of rushing us off in the middle of the night? And he said, where you're going, it don't matter. You know what he's talking about, Jeremiah?
Yes, I know. He was speaking of the problems of the North River Bowl Flotilla.
Cabin? Does that mean we're going underground?
Yes. In fact, we're just entering. It's too dark to see.
Doc? Are you listening?
Hey, your bandit. Where the heck are you?
Listen, Jimmy. Do everything Jeremiah tells you. One misstep will mean danger, perhaps death. Keep close to Jeremiah. Goodbye.
Hey, what's he going to? What did she mean, danger?
If you were to take one short step off the path from your left, you would plunge into a bottomless crater.
Hey.
This is the beginning of the trail of courage and endurance. The bones of many men lie at the bottom of the chasms in this place of darkness.
Jack and Doc will come to you tomorrow at the same hour when you hear Doc say...
You mean we're actually going to see a volcano?
Not only see it, but your next test is to walk the rim of the crater.
I Love a Mystery, written and produced by by Carlton E. Morris comes to you Monday through Friday. Featuring Russell Fortin as Jack Packard and Jim Bowles as Doc Long. The Sheriff Russell as Uganda, Robert Dryden as Jeremiah the Hermit, and Louis Van Rosen as the Monk. And is directed by Mel Bailey. Your announcer has been Ted Melly.